guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Ayatha.
And we are
Let God podcast.
Woo! So today we are going to be talking about Christian Twitter culture because we have some thoughts that we would like to share. But as always, before we dive in, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to be with one another and just talk about things and topics that are important to us. And we ask that you would lead us in this discussion about Christian Twitter and about online social media ministries, and help us to say the things that are pleasing to you, Father, and just really to translate your heart about, you know, how we use social media as Christians. And I pray that you would just be our joy and our wisdom and our confidence, Father, in this conversation. And I pray that people are blessed and challenged as they listen to it. In your name I've prayed. Amen.
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 Cool. I'll start off with a question because I'm just interested. Would y'all say we part of Christian Twitter now? Because we got like a podcast and everything, you know, like.
Absolutely not.
No. I don't subscribe to that definition.
I personally do not subscribe to labels at all, least of all that one. Yes, I'm a Christian who has a Twitter account.
No, period.
That I saw a tweet about that, and then the person was like, you can't say that.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I absolutely can. I feel like to say you're in Christian Twitter, it's like a very specific thing. I don't want to talk too much, but I feel like it's maybe certain individuals or even a certain style of tweeting, or it's hard to describe, but like you really have to be in the club. Like, I'm not in the club. I'm just looking from the outside, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's very much like the London thing.
Speak on it.
Yeah. It's very London-centric. And actually, oddly enough, none of us are London babes, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not involved.
So, Wanipa just mentioned tone a little bit, like, how it's sort of difficult to pinpoint, but how sometimes the tone of quote-unquote Christian Twitter, or Christian tweets, if that makes sense, can sort of be a little bit wonky. And I feel like for me, I just see sometimes I see things and I just have to be like, you my friend, but I'm gonna mute you. Like, we're not even friends. I'm gonna just unadd you. Because I think for me, the biggest thing, even before we started recording, I was like, for me, the biggest thing about Christian Twitter is how a lot of the tweets can be sort of condemnatory. And I just feel that's so whack because that's just not like Christ's heart at all, you know?
Right. I agree. And like, sometimes I will just be reading tweets and I'm thinking, like, your tweet could be someone's first and last interaction with Christ, either today or ever. So I think sometimes just I understand why people are, you know, tweeting out the messages that they're tweeting out, but there's a way to say certain things and also just certain messages for certain platforms. And I'm like, do you really need to say that? Was that really edifying, or were you just looking for likes and retweets? Ooh. Or like, what was the purpose? Like, when you sent that tweet, what was the reason? You know what I mean? And I just feel like it's the same with anything, with like regular evangelizing and with, you know, trying to invite people to church. The way you do it is so important. And it sometimes you think to yourself, if I wasn't a Christian and I was reading this, how would I feel? You know?
And I think, I don't know, sometimes you're kind of confused at the purpose, kind of like what Wanipa said, because are you trying to evangelize? Are you talking to people who are Christians, people who are been in the church for a long time, people who haven't been in church for a long time? If someone who didn't believe read this, would they still be able to get it? Because one thing that has started to annoy me a lot is the jargon. And it's like, why are you saying all of this when you can explain it so much simpler that everyone can understand?
Right. It's almost as if it's a competition, like, oh, the bigger religious vocab I can use, the closer I am to God. And it's like, the gospel is for everybody. Like, let's not turn this into like a linguistic battle, because it, yeah, it really don't need to be like that. It's not about how intellectual your tweets can sound or how learned you can sound in the Lord. Like, it's really not. We don't need to do all of that.
Yeah. And going back to what you said about, like, people just looking for retweets and likes. Like, sometimes the tweets are so simple. And you're like... And it's like, God woke you up this morning, like, if you agree.
If you agree. Thinking, if I disagree, I would be dead, so what?
As in, no, it's really, them ones which like if you agree, or comment amen, or retweet if you love Jesus. And I'm thinking, if you don't get out of here.
I don't even retweet.
No, same. And it's like... You know, the Lord knows my heart. I'm not gonna, it's all, you know, it's not, and it makes it really come across like that person is just trying to get likes and retweets for themselves, or is trying to edify themselves or boost their own platforms. And it's like, really, like, let's examine the reasons we're doing things, you know?
I was speaking to my dad about, not really about this, but we were speaking about something else a little earlier today. And he was like, he thinks that the church in general sometimes, or like mega churches, we're very good at like width, so we're good at like numbers and like doing things that are like very big and like flashy, not in a like look at me way, but like very like noticeable and big, but we're not very good at times at depth and at discipleship. And I think that sort of is in line with the themes and the sort of flows of Christian Twitter that we were, I say we, not us three collectively, because, you know, we ain't down for that, but we as a Christian collective on social media, we tend to say things, as Ianfa said, that can be borderline just very shallow, simple, just for the retweets and the likes, when it's like, but the real tea that we're trying to hear about XYZ topic, nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody's talking about some flip the switch, Christian TikTok. I'm like, who cares, bruh? We should not even be on TikTok.
I'm a Christian.
Literally.
Is it saved, forgiven?
No, really and truly. And like, also just with some of the language that's frequently used on quote unquote Christian Twitter, like, I know it's just a very small thing, but for me personally, the words saved and unsaved really, really jar me. Because, like, I don't know, it for me in my head, like, it draws parallels with, like, in the Old Testament, when the Jews would be like, oh, we're the circumcised and the Gentiles are the uncircumcised, like, creating an us and them, also kind of, you know, degrading the fact that salvation is free and available to everyone, and also just kind of negating the fact that I mean, are you saved? Like, you can call yourself saved, but I mean, have you are you in Jesus's mind, you know? Have you seen the decision? And just also reduces Christianity down to simply that, like, going to heaven or going to hell, which it is not about. And like, I know that that's probably not what people mean, but I think semantics are so important, especially when it comes down to things that could potentially evangelize or even draw people so far away from the gospel message. So just a heads up.
Do you think social media can be effective for evangelizing, or is it more effective when you're already in the church?
I personally think it's more effective when you're in the church. I think when utilized well, social media is a good way of like getting people's attention. So if you're having a specific event or worship night, or, you know, they're doing like brunches now and things like that, that's super cool. So it's like, it'll get people's attention and people be inquisitive about this specific platform. But as a means of evangelizing specifically to people who are not acquainted, like, with the gospel or who don't really know it, I just feel like the way that we currently use social media is a bit, I don't think it's that effective. And I feel like in terms of evangelizing, relational evangelism is the best way, and is really the fundamental way. Like, there were no mega churches when the early church began once Jesus ascended. It was house groups, people that you cooked dinner for, and you went to school with, and you went to the market with. And so like, even when you hear stories about people who like do become Christian, it's often like, oh, a friend brought me, or a cousin, or a colleague, or somebody kept on checking up on me, like a person or people that you can identify in your life, opposed to, I saw this tweet one day, and, you know, that tweet just took my breath away, and now I'm here. Like, that's not really how the story goes. So
yeah, I agree. And I think there is a role for like social media to play. Like one time I remember I tweeted something. It was during the start of the pandemic and everything. And I was like, guys, I know everyone is very scared, including myself, and anxious and everything. So if anyone wants to pray with me, like, shoot me a DM. And, like, there were people who reached out and whatever. And, like, that was a good platform to, you know, help comfort and stuff. But it wasn't the tweet itself that was doing all the evangelizing. It's about, like, you know, having a relationship. It's about showing people unconditional love and, like, you can, you know, call me when you need me and, like, I'm here for you and, like, God loves you and that kind of thing. And if you even think, like, what the times that discipleship has happened, i.e. like people have become disciples, it has been from a close relationship. Like, even Jesus with his 12 disciples, like, he ate with them, like, he walked with them, they did everything together. It wasn't just a retweet because you need to change your life or repent now and then, you know what I mean? And so I think it's people, you're right, like, I think people are looking at things a lot more in terms of breadth rather than depth. It's like, how many retweets, how many likes, how many people can I see, like, how many people can I outwardly see changing their lives or whatever with stuff like, oh, the Jesus flip the switch challenge or whatever. But beyond that, like, is there a relational connection? Like, are hearts really being changed? Are people really being looked after?
What do you think about, like, Christian influencers, like people that are influencers because they're Christian?
So you mean like the people whose like YouTube pages or like Instagram or whatever is specifically centered on like evangelism, social media ministries, or like people who do beauty or hair or academics but they also happen to be Christian? Which one, the former or
no, people whose like social media is because they're Christian?
I think we're a little bit biased for reasons that will remain undisclosed. But, from an unbiased point of view, I feel like there's no beef. I think it's cool because, like, I know people who benefit from it. One of my friends has a really cool platform that she runs. It's not a personal platform. It's just more of a resource. It's called All Things Christian. Follow her on follow the page on Instagram. It's really, really powerful. And that's, like, loads of resources. Mm-hmm. And it's really good, but it's not a personal page. It just happens to be a Christian-centered, like, resource page.
Yeah.
So I think that makes more sense. In terms of, like, Christian influences, I don't see the beef about it. I don't think I would ever really... I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes it becomes a bit difficult when, like, money and finances get involved in the influencing page because so much of it is about insights and interaction and things. So that's when it's just going to be, like... And I'm not adding anybody. This is no shade. It's going to be like, how to interpret your dream. This prophecy is for you. Like, your man is coming soon. 2020 is your year. But what if 2020 is not your growth year? What if it's your year of obscurity?
What if your man isn't coming soon?
Then what? Then what?
Yeah, I have a couple things to say on this. Firstly, I think that in some ways I can see how it could be interpreted as problematic, and I don't want to necessarily give my specific view, but I will just present the argument that certain people get platformed and they have one way of interpreting, one way of seeing things, one way of reading and understanding the Bible, and those are the views that get highlighted the most, and those are the ones that are interacted with the most, those are the ones that are most likely to permeate into non-Christian circles as well because they have the biggest platform. Whereas one might tune into those videos or listen to those platforms and think, this isn't necessarily aligning with the gospel message. And I have seen it happen on different occasions, whether it's individuals or people leading Bible studies, etc., promoting messages which are quite frankly toxic and harmful. And because they're like, either that they have clickbaity titles or because there's little soundbite clips from them that kind of go viral on Twitter. And it's like, oh, great. Another wayward message. This is what people are going to think Christianity is when it's completely not right. Another thing I would like to say is that some people do, I think, get the balance really right.
Yeah.
I think one, I guess you could say Christian influencer, or rather influencer who is Christian, who I think's messaging is really on point, is Courtney Daniela.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the way that she sort of shares her faith is so loving and so genuine and so honest that it just comes across so warm, and it's really not condemnatory, and it's very from a good place. I remember one of the first videos of hers, like on a Christian topic that I saw was what to do when you're kind of feeling like you're not close to God. And every word was just so moving and so biblically accurate mm-hmm. and so loving. And I think that if you're going to use your platform to talk about Christianity, those should be the fundamentals, like yeah. as mm-hmm. a minimum, that's how your messaging should be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my opinion.
What do you think, Ayanfe?
Yeah, I very much agree. I think, especially because social media can become a career and you have to maintain like certain views and things. I think you just always have to remember that it isn't you. Like, people aren't coming to hear about, well, they are coming to hear about you and like all your stuff, but what you're saying, half of it is from the Bible. Did you write it?
Mm.
No.
Oh, period.
T-though. Right. T-though. Right.
So you just have to maintain humility. There needs to be a place where you can disagree with what other people have said and right. not, and it not be a personal attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I just want to add to that because I feel like because certain influencers, their platform gets boosted, if you are just a regular Christian on the internet and you might have a different opinion or you disagree with something, people kind of come for you and like they're kind of defending this person because they like them as an individual without necessarily questioning their worldview or the way that they've interpreted scripture or whatever. So it suddenly mm-hmm. becomes like, oh, like you're just a hater and stuff. And there definitely needs to be a place for these kind of open discussions without people kind of getting, you know, defensive and and putting up a front because they like the individual. It's like you should be able to interrogate your faves beliefs. Mm. Like you can still rock with someone, you can still subscribe and like and stuff, but still have the confidence to be like, you know what, I actually didn't agree with this thing that you said, and this thing is kind of misleading.
Mm. On the topic of people, like, I guess, commercializing their social media presence, so making a career out of it, how do you think that manifests for I guess Christian influencers, not those like Courtney, for example? She's got her whole hair and like YouTube brand on a whole, but other people who, yes, may be in school or yes, may have a 9-to-5 job, but whose social media presence is sort of a contributing factor to their, I guess, salary. What are your views on like how people monetize that? Because I've seen some people that I follow, they have like Patreon accounts, and so that means like their YouTube videos are released a little bit earlier, or they do like private Bible studies with the people who have subscribed to their service. And I personally don't see anything wrong with that, but I know like in the news there have been like pay X amount of money for healing or for prayer or for this sort of consultation, and I'm just like, oh no, sis, indeed.
This is the thing. I feel like, so I think it's a very difficult one, and it really just comes down to that individual mm-hmm. and their heart and how they are kind of using their platform. Because if you're going to do false prophecy and if you're going to offer false messages just for the purpose of having clickbait and, you know, monetizing your thing and getting mm-hmm. more money in, God is seeing you. Just know it's not even a thing where it's a beef between you and I will have my opinion. It's a beef between you and the Lord. And that's that on that. Yeah,
I definitely agree that it is a personal, is up to personal conviction. If that's the ministry God's put you in, then you just have to talk to him and let him direct your steps. Mm. I think humility is the biggest part of it.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. And this is just a bit of an aside, but one of my personal qualms with Christian Twitter, quote unquote, is how we have not progressed past the constant relationship marriage discourse. And I'm just like, they're y'all, when will you rest? When shall we rest?
Aren't you tired?
Preacher. I am honestly exhausted.
Yeah, it's kind of like, do you not think that young people in the church have more problems to deal with than just boyfriend, girlfriends? Mm. Just marriage. Is marriage the only goal in this life? Because what if God's purpose for your life is to be a Paul, is to be a Jesus, is to be a eunuch?
Yeah. No, period. Because we're talking about marriage, but one of the greatest barriers for... Oh, this is tea. Okay, let me just think about this.
Let me strap myself in. Because last time she said, this is tea, she dragged me.
One of the greatest barriers for marriage when we're looking at people like us, so three Black women, is colorism. But nobody wants to speak about that. Because we were all up in arms when our pastors say, well, we're happy when our pastors speak about Black Lives Matter. We're very disappointed when our pastors do not or speak about social issues. But how many of us are colorists? Closeted, perhaps, but things like that. We're not speaking about that. A lot of the things that surround like somebody's personhood outside of marriage. Like how that would, I don't know. It's just a lot.
It's just really a lot. And it kind of... I feel like it's creating this perception that being married is a higher status than being single, or like being married is some sort of like, I mean, I'm not saying that marriage is bad. Me personally, I would love to get married. I would love to fall in love. Mary Hannah's face is like, I would love to get married and everything. This is no shade on marriage. This is no shade on people in relationships who are Christians, but I think we need to just, this discourse that marriage is the be-all and end-all is so dangerous because it leaves so many people feeling very unworthy, very unfulfilled, or very like maybe they've disappointed God, or like that being in a relationship is the only way that God is showing his favor in their lives. And I just feel like every day Christian Twitter, relationship this, relationship that, boy this, boy that, like just relax, like just rest, you know. It's really enough sometimes.
Yeah. First of all, the TL recycles the same three topics.
As in?
But the Christian Twitter recycles the same one topic.
Preach, preacher.
No, honestly.
Preach. Mm-hmm. No, it really be and like that.
There's so many, there's like a limited amount of ways that you can keep saying the same thing. And...
literally,
it's
I was gonna say that, oh, do Christian men have game? Like, we're tired.
No,
of
I
them.
Think we should speak no, on it. Let's
you know what?
On
let
it.
Me say it. Let me say it. Okay, like, I'm literally tired, guys, fatigued of seeing do Christian men have game on the TL. Christian men don't have game. Christian men do have game, we're just not chasing you. Christian men did. Listen, just stop. All of that.
No, really, speak on it. Like, that whole, like, I feel like, as Iron Fist said so eloquently, you can only recycle the same things, like, a certain amount of times. So, if Christian men have game, do they not have game? Okay. And so, if they do it, they do not have game. What's my own? What is my actual own? Like...
And you can't even change it.
As in?
Like, they have to work it out by themselves. With prayer and fasting.
No, period.
No, honestly, as in, it's just like very tiring. And even like, so this gospel brunch thing that's happening.
Preach it, but
no,
preach.
To be honest, shout out to the event because I think it's a really cool idea and I love it. It's just like a little park link up, gospel music, vibes, whatever, whatever. But like so quickly, the conversation just turned to, I'm going to meet my husband. I'm going to meet my da-da-da. Oh, guys.
Can't just make friends.
As in, even just the whole side of, oh, don't go there just to link, man. Don't go there just to link, girl. As in, I'm not saying that that's my purpose. I'll go there to meet friends. But either way, if I do land my eye on a fine honey, will I not go and approach and say hi? It's just a thing where it's really not that deep and let's not be policing people's lives.
Yeah.
Least of all their dating lives. Like, it's very tiring. Like, let's talk about some other fundamental issues like grace and love and faith. Like, giving to the poor, standing up for the aggrieved, you know? Sign your petition instead. How about that?
Honestly. And it the people who are always like, I hope people are not doing XYZ, they'd be the main ones doing the thing that they have just, I don't know.
Speak.
Like.
Speak.
I just don't understand. They'd be like, I hope you're not. Nobody was thinking about that apart from you, darling. So now you outed yourself and now what? And now
as
what?
In.
Because I was going there for munchies.
As
but
in.
You're looking for man. But now you're trying to act like you're not looking for man. But after that, when you say, I have
as
my
in.
Eyes on my when, on your burner account, you're going to be like, I saw one sweet something, something, something or the other. Don't act stupid.
I said, oh, As in, but when someone else tweets about See and Find Man, you'll be saying, focus your eyes on the words. It is well. Listen, if you are just going there to chase man, go there to chase man. If you're not, don't. You don't need to announce it. You don't need to condemn it. Just live your life. This is another thing, because I just said condemn. I remember something from earlier that we were just talking about, like, tweets being condemnatory. Another thing I would like to personally see stopped, as in arrete,
as eradicated.
In eradicated.
She even dropped that French. She said arrete.
Arrete. That GCSE came in clutch. Is them tweets which is like, stop scrolling. Have you read your Bible today? Thought so. And I'm thinking, either, yes, I actually have. Or I'm thinking, chat, if you don't get the... And also, like, there was a trend earlier in the year of people, like, posting their screenshots of how long they'd spent in the Bible app. And that, you know what? I'm so happy for you that that's how long you spent. I'm so happy that your streak is 200 plus days. Great. But that in itself, that outward symbol does not necessarily reflect one's faith. It does not reflect your personal relationship with the Lord. Me personally, I know times where my Bible streak has been high, but have I been reading the Bible every day? No, I've been clicking the verse of the day image notification to get rid of it.
She's speaking
and my
to
streak
you.
Has been increasing. Other times, my streak has been on 0 or 3 at max because I've been in my physical word and I have been burning with the Holy Spirit. On fire for Christ, as you might say. So we need to really just stop reducing Christianity on social media to image. Because image is killing my people.
Period.
Like, image will be the death of us. Because people want to seem holier than thou. Meanwhile, everything is way. But I really feel that if we just were more honest and transparent on social media about how a walk with Christ really has its up and downs, so many more people would be touched than what we currently have, which is, this is what you have to do to be strong in the Lord. Look at me. I'm so strong in the Lord. Jesus flipped the switch and now I'm saved. Like, just relax, man.
Especially as you said, you touched on it a bit before, but those little challenges, like the Jesus flipped the switch, I have no beef with people who do it. Like, I was liking people's away. Like, yes, I'm so happy you felt like you have been restored, or, you know, you have sort of had a moment of transformation. Like, I'm so happy for you. But let me just, I don't really care, so I'm going to say whatever. There's some people that I know in a real life. I know you in a real life. Okay?
If I speak.
So the Lord did flip the switch, but let's not be acting like we out here brand new. Don't be acting like you're brand new, because...
Really and truly.
Because...
Really and truly.
Like, no, to be, in my opinion, like, as much as I said I like the challenge, I personally, I didn't partake in it. I mean, putting my face on the TL, that doesn't suit my brand. I don't think. So that's besides the point. But then it's just like, so because a photo was taken of you at XYZ church event that shows that the flip has been switched, what if he was going to be opening leg after that? What happens next? So it's like,
it's one of them.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, performative is not necessarily always a negative word, but as you said, it can be reduced to such performative, I guess, indicators that it's just like, y'all really, like, we know you in real life. Really.
Honestly.
And I think that, like, challenges like that can be easily pushed forward by, like, another tweet under saying, like, if you have any questions or if you want to discuss. But people just put, like, do stuff like that and then that's it.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to do with that. Like, you get the retweets, but you don't start conversations.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to use social media to, like, spread the gospel is starting conversations.
Because people's testimony stories are always the most encouraging. I love when I read that. Whether it's about, like, academic, or I could go through my diss, or I got a job, or I was healed, or I came through XYZ situation. I feel like those are the most encouraging and inspiring, not just here's a before and after picture of me doing whatever.
And Ayomfe, you just briefly touched on starting conversations, and I definitely agree, because I think personal conversations, reaching out to people, like, there's nothing stronger than a testimony, like, being able to tell people, you know, taste and see of the Lord's goodness, like, this is what he's done for me. And in the line of conversation, I think what more of quote-unquote Christian Twitter need to be willing to do is to have conversations that don't erupt into arguments.
Mm.
Like, people can have different opinions from you, but it doesn't mean that they're bad Christians.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that they are wayward or lost, and it doesn't need to end up in subtweeting or indirecting, like, let's not be childish, like, let's not act like there are not X number of denominations of Christianity. Mm. As in, you're not the first people to have these ideological arguments, and you won't be the last.
Mm.
And it's not to say that a Jehovah's Witness is more of a Christian than a Seventh-day Adventist or a Methodist or an Anglican, because they differ on different things.
Mm.
So I don't know how this conversation on Twitter is going to erupt into petty indirecting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And just
like, because, let's just remember the fundamentals.
Yeah, and I feel like just because we are all Christian, or have the same sort of fundamental beliefs, doesn't mean I have to follow you or even agree with what you say or tweet. There are people who are Christian that have just been like, okay, I interact with their stuff for a while, but then I'm just like, I don't really agree with this, and I don't like the way that they approach this situation beyond, outside of a personal perspective. I just don't think that's scripture, or when I've read up about it, I just don't think that's true. So I just don't want to really subscribe to this line of thinking anymore. And I just ended there, and there's no beef. And I, like, they're prospering in their salvation journey, I pray, and I'll be prospering in mine. But there's no need to be like, oh, you both Christian, and like, I don't know, subscribe to, I don't know, we're both Black, or we both like this type of music, or we both go to this type of university, so we gotta be like mutuals. Like, no, we don't. And that's okay.
We really don't. And that's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine.
There's certain things that are doctrinal to certain churches, but aren't fully biblical.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like indiscretions about some certain things, like, especially, what was it, the soul tie thing? Like, does that bring you to, does that take you to heaven, or as in, like, is there a need to, for an argument?
Right
But you can you can agree to disagree, and that's absolutely fine.
And I feel like,
but not on the fundamentals, though.
Yeah,
that's another thing.
Jesus is Lord.
No, period. Because some people be like, I think we saw a thread once. It was like, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe the Bible is a word of God. I said,
right. I remember that tweet. I said, girl,
And I saw somebody else recently. They were like, I have to stop saying, I keep on making the bad mistake of saying that, that the Bible is a word of God. And I understand what they meant, like, God can speak outside of the Bible, but the whole point of the Bible is to relay God's word before Christ. Like, before Christ came, there were priests and preachers who had to literally do the role and atone for, like, mankind's sin. So I'm very confused as to why we're getting into semantics battles. Like, y'all, it's just too much.
Right. It's really too much. Like, y'all are doing too much. And I just want to caveat this with the fact that, like, even though I have and we have said all these things, I really don't have a beef or an issue with people discussing their Christianity on social media. I mean, we have a podcast, for goodness sakes. Our podcast has pages, and, like, we all tweet about Christianity and stuff. But I think this whole idea of making it, like, Christian Twitter, sometimes almost it feels like this exclusive club where there's certain people who are just kind of big in Christian Twitter, and they get the likes and the retweets, and it becomes like an image show, and it becomes about edifying oneself rather than edifying others in Christ. That's what I have a problem with. And I feel like this generation, clout, it's a drug. right. And I feel like that's my fundamental issue.
Okay, guys, to end or to wrap up on a positive, lighthearted note, I think most of us would have seen that, like, tweet, like, here's somebody from the Bible thing that happened, like, last week. What was your favorite one that you saw?
My absolute favorite one was the one where it was, like, Jesus, when he came to, like, scatter the temple.
Oh my gosh,
and it was like, he's got a table, they've got a table, he's got a table.
Same, that was hilarious.
That one was so funny. Let me even go through my likes, because there was too many golden ones.
I saw one, it was like Jesus with the 12 disciples at the Last Supper, and it's like when he said, somebody, one of you was going to betray me, and it's Bob Risky, and she's saying something, and it was just so funny to me. Like, I was just into it. It was hilarious.
Oh, let me find one.
Oh, I've just seen another one. And it was, it, like, obviously they quoted the tweet, like, someone in the Bible. And the guy said, shout me if you want to make bread. 5 to 5,000, same day job. Serious people only.
Oh, my favorite one is the Last Supper one. It's like, Last Supper link up.
Oh, yeah.
Man, them come drippy. Yeah, them no entry.
Yes. And it's like the screenshot of the notes page. Like, yeah. How classic. This is the content we love to see. Do you know what I mean? And I saw a tweet from someone and it was like, I bet you at least one person became intrigued by the Bible just from that meme. And that could potentially be true. And that's the content I like to see. Mm. Wholesome, laughs. Everybody's having a great time.
It's true. Okay, so after that discussion, we would really like to hear you guys' thoughts. We know some of what we said are quite unpopular opinions. So make sure to get in contact with us in our comments, tweet us, in our Instagram as well. And you can find us at Let God Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Our podcast is now available on all podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Yeah, so you can find us everywhere. Thanks to all of you guys that tune into our lives. A special shout out to Jess.
Yes.
For supplying the questions.
And a special shout out to Josh. That's my guy. He really livened the live up with his comments. Shout out to him. We hope you guys enjoyed. And let us know if you want us to do more lives, because I know I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Okay, y'all.
Okay, bye.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.